Let us say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the work of your Spirit in our church, in our lives, in our ministries. We thank you for every heart, every mind seated here this morning to fellowship, to receive your word. We ask that you will grant us insight into your word. You will help us to see that responsibility that you've called us into, that privilege of the Great Commission through the Christian discipleship that you've called us into. Every man's heart this morning will be open to see the reality therein, that which is ours to take. We will take this morning, we will take upon us that work, that mission. We will see ourselves as you see us. We will walk as we ought to walk. As questions are answered in our hearts this morning, we have light shed upon gray areas and every aspect in our thoughts, patterns, in our opinions, in our minds that seems to be knotted together will be straightened out by your word. This we ask and receive in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 9 is our text. Quickly. Matthew 9. Are we there? I hope we are all with our Bibles and what? Your Bibles and what? There's no unbeliever here. If you don't have your Bible in church, you are unbeliever. Are we together? And Bible is not phone. Is it clear? Your phone is not. When you open Bible, Facebook notification does not come in. Is it clear? The one that you open that, you see, totom, pim, tutum, boom, pom. That one is not Bible. Well, as if your Bible says, tutum, pom, boom. So, that one is a phone app. Is it clear? And that's why in a service like this, that you are sometimes, you are finding difficult. You say, hold your hands there. Open to, hold your hands there. Now I do it deliberately. Matthew 1:1, hold your hands there. Go to John 2. John 2:15. Yeah, hold your hands there. Go to Luke 35. Hold your hands there. You don't have many fingers to open the Bible. One of the uses of your finger is to open the Bible when you are in service. Is it clear? So your Bible is not. No, it's not a mirror. Are we together? It's meant to be open. Is it clear? Those who have victory often open their Bible that often. Are we together? And it's not victory when you went about it in the flesh. That's not victory. Victory is that you stood your ground in God's plan and you overcame. That's victory. Is it clear, church? Thank you. So hope we are all with our Bibles. The church today needs a revival. Revival of attending church with Bibles. Don't mind if you just go through some Bible history. You will come to church with five Bibles. Just by going through the history of the Bible. If you see how much it took to be able to get a copy of Bible across to people today. Hundreds of people were killed. Hundreds killed. Thousands were killed. Some of them were burnt at the stake. They were burnt with their family and children because they tried to translate the Bible into the language that common people can understand. Yes. So, across the generations of the earth. And I'm not talking about in the Bible. I mean, not too far away from us. Are we together? The Bible is a powerful book. It's a powerful book. Hold your Bible like this. Hold it like this. You know, there is a song that Pastor Chris sings, right? I taught you. My Bible and I, right? Do you still know the song? I have a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. We will travel together. My Bible and I. Where's your Bible? Where's your Bible? So let's say it one more time. I have a wonderful treasure. The gift of God without measure. We will travel together. My Bible and I. If you can say my food, I say my food, my food, my money, my purse, my wallet, my ID card. There's also my Bible. Are we together? That means not common. Are we there? Are we there? It's so personal that you can't use this Bible without me. I have to. You can't even access it. This is my Bible. What are you doing with it? Hey, but it's the word of God. It's my word of God. It's my word of God. Where's your own? Say, hey, can I borrow back? Which Bible? I will give you. I prefer to go into my library and then take a new Bible and give you than to hand over this one. This one is my own. Ah, I know it. He knows me. When I do like this, I'm in John. If I collect your one, I do like this, I will have to get John. Not that I don't know where it is. But this one, he knows I'm Chronicle. He knows when my mind is saying Chronicle and Corinthians. He won't mix it. I just pa pa pa, I'm there. Pa pa pa, I'm there. That's your Bible. Is it clear?
Yes,
it's a powerful book. Come to think of it. Why do countries close their borders to import this book? Just a book. If it's just a book, are these some folks hold crusades? They hold crusades night and day for several weeks and months trying to discredit what is inside. If your own is so credible, talk from it now and leave this one alone. Nobody in this one and start talking from your book. If your own is credible, don't talk about this one. Explain what you want to say from that one. But that means that without this one, you don't even have ministry. Ah. Without this one, you can't hold a crusade. If this print was not in existence, you will not hold crusade. You better draw what you are doing and believe it. Are we together? It's a powerful book. Amen. You read it often. You get God's thought into your heart. It washes your heart. Washes your soul. Remove all the debris in your eyes. Makes you to see clearly. And then you pray. Then you come to services where it is taught and explained. Then you go out to explain to a sinner. Suddenly, the shackles of sin is broken of his life. Are we together? That's a powerful book. Matthew 9. Amen. So look at Matthew 9 quickly. In verse 35, we're looking at the concept or subject of Christian discipleship. And I won't talk about Christian meetings this morning because time is gone. So he says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogue. Jesus is a teacher. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That means Jesus does not come to his pulpit explaining science. No. If Jesus stood in his pulpit, you probably would not hear him talking about money. He's not teaching commerce. Are we together? He's not teaching commerce. He's not teaching a Greek. He's not teaching philosophy. He's a teacher of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. He says, and healing. So when we see the preaching of the kingdom, we will see healing. Someone say healings. Are we together? Healings. Healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that tells you that sicknesses and diseases is among the people. If you can't go to them, God can't use you for them. Don't say, ah, what is God's provision for an introvert? Go. Is it clear? Go. Is it clear? If you want to be used, you do what? You go. It's among demonic afflictions is among the people. Is among the people. Confusion is among the people. You go to the people. God sends you to the people. Is it clear? So look at this. Seeking God does not lead you to isolation. It takes you into the midst of the people. Because God himself is in the midst of the people healing them. His harvest is people. Is it clear? His harvest is lives. His activities is amongst the people. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, he says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of all. So the gifts of the Spirit is for the people. Is it clear? The things of God is for the people. God is for the people. God is a people God. Is it clear? So a Christian is a people person.
I like to be on my own in my room.
Have moments like that, but have more moments when you are amongst the people, impacting them for the Lord. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. So look at this. 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with what? Compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Sheep having no shepherd, complete that statement. Sheep without shepherd, not according to. Sheep without shepherd, not what? That's it. So sheep without shepherd is not God's plan. We saw Numbers, we saw Ezekiel, we saw Isaiah, we saw Chronicles. What's in that text? What's in that text? Did you see? We saw Amos. We saw Zechariah. Then we saw Matthew. Sheep having no shepherd is a sheep outside God's plan. Don't forget what I explained to you on Sunday, right? How he sets the solitary into what? In the family. Do you remember what I explained about the dry ground? Thank you. Dry land. Desert, right? How many of you remember the Hebrew word? What's the Hebrew word? Ruach. No. Sounds like you are roaring. No. Agbama. I don't know they are Agbaman. No, it's Omodiman. What's the Hebrew word? See, I'm not hearing papers. You don't study your notes. Shetem. That sounds like a drug. And the better saying it is a drug person. Shetem. Eh? You are telling us the spelling. Yabasho, Yabawa, right? Right? A desert. No, is that a desert? No. No, that's a dry land, right? That came out of the water, isn't it? But that is not the dry land in Psalm 68, isn't it? Yeah. The dry land in Psalm 68 is what? Shechem. Shege. Shege. What's the dry land in Psalm 68? Shekiko. Shall know it. Are we together? So it means a place where there is no what? Sustenance. No direction, no sustenance. And I use one other word. What's the word? The last word I use. You are what? You are visionless. But I use the word vulnerable. So a Christian without a local church is vulnerable to the enemy. And that vulnerability, the reason why that word was not Yabawa is to show you that that vulnerability, there is nothing God can do about it. I told you that, right? Because the Yabawa implies it is only still dry. It is going to what? It's going to get water. That's one in Genesis 1. The dry land came out of the water. You observe the next thing is now said grass should come out. So Yabawa means that it's only dry for now. Is it clear? It is going to get populated. But that dry land in Psalm 68 is saying that it is perpetually. It's perpetually dry. That means, look at this. If you are there, don't ask God to come to rescue you. Get out of that place. Did you get it? Because he doesn't want you there. Do you get what I'm saying? Don't go to places where God doesn't want you and tell him to intervene. No. No. See, I don't say this to Christians. Don't do things that will make you depend on miracles all your life. Don't. Is it clear? God has put things in structure. Follow his plan so that you will not always be needing intervention, emergency. Is it clear? Aha. Follow his plan. So the plan of God is the church. I want to get my Paul said, if you are making a marital decision, Paul said you can marry anybody. Abi? Abi? Even if it's a cockroach or an antelope, you can marry. But Paul said, just ensure that that cockroach or antelope is born again. Is it clear? Is it clear? Is it clear? It says in the Lord. Obviously, on the face of it, it means born again, right? But he's not referring to born again alone, no. When he says in the Lord, look here among you. Are we together? I have to look here among you. Are we together? Full of wonders report. Abi? Full of the Holy Ghost. Abi? 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 You are not answering again. Full of Holy Ghost. Full of wonders report. Abi? Full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit. What again is full of? Full of faith. Full of money. Are we together? Full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the Spirit, full of what? Wisdom. But my guy is saying whispering something. Full of what? Wisdom. Full of wisdom. Thank you. Praise God. No. Yeah, I like him. Now you have married somebody that all your life you will depend on miracle. Yes. Because when he married it, I now remember that when he was in the, when he was looking for admission, somebody invited him to join a gym. And he refused to join the gym, and he has not been able to go to gym since then. But when he married, he just go that, you look like a dumbbell. Or just, this is a boxing ring. Take him back. There is not coming to church. Not because you don't love God again, but because you are a new creature. A new creature. I get to woo and to tell. Because you married a miracle. Sorry. You married somebody that needs you to be dependent on miracle. Why would you like that? So that will give you a 50 naira. Then you should use it to cook for the whole year. Aha. Yes. Aha. You need a miracle now. Shall we also multiply bread and fish? I'm telling you to look for a miracle. Look for a miracle. Miracle woman. I'm a miracle walking woman. Miracle walking woman. No. Don't marry somebody that will make your life dependent on miracle. Is it clear? Marry someone that you can team up together. A miracle partner. And when you have a miracle partner, you observe that your life is not always needing miracle. Supply. You go together. You look to things. You plan together. Plan together. Is it clear? Why am I talking about that one this morning? Let me teach harvest of the God of the field and laborers. Amen. And discipleship. Amen. So look at that. So he said, 36, sheep without shepherd. 37, he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray therefore God of the harvest that he will send for laborers into his harvest. If you look at chapter 10, he now sends his disciples to preach. So the laborer in Matthew 9 is called a shepherd. Is it clear, church? So we've said quite a number of things. We said that the work of the shepherd is first of all the work of evangelism. Evangelism. I've not got now. Get it. Evangelism is the work of evangelism. Are we together? That's the work of a shepherd. The work of a shepherd is first of all the work of evangelism. Amen. To seek the what? The sheep. Seeking the sheep. I seek the sheep. Praise God. We are called to seek God's sheep. See, I don't care what you're doing in your life. If you like, be PA to Dangote. If you are not on evangelism in the church as a Christian, you are wasting your life. You're wasting your life. You're wasting your time. You're wasting the reason why you're born again. You're wasting it. Because time is So we seek the sheep and pick it up from there this morning. Deliberately, intentionally, I seek the sheep. I go after the unsaved. The work of evangelism, or the work of evangelism, is the work of the whole church. Do you get it? Do you get it? The work of evangelism is the work of the whole church. Some weeks ago, I told you, I saw a clip by Reverend Tom. Reverend Tom is the associate pastor of Pastor Chris of the Believers Love Wall, Current Embassy. The Reverend Tom, in the clip that I saw, Reverend Tom had asked, I think it was a kind of a leaders meeting, or maybe the service. It was a short clip. So he was asking his audience, he says, how many times in the past couple of weeks has somebody approached you to preach the gospel to you? Someone came with the scriptures and wants to preach to you so that you can be born again. Not someone giving you a flyer. Not someone invited to your concert. I mean, someone cares so much about your state, your soul, and without putting a church or a meeting or all of that forth, or a flyer or a program forth, he wants to sit down with you to preach to you to the end that you are born again. He says, when and very few people, he was talking to hundreds, very few, I think less than 20. He was talking to thousands of people, rather, not hundreds, thousands of people. Very few people, almost nobody. Very few people raise their hands. It shows you that the work of evangelism, people are no more doing it. Now, this was what he said that got to me. That today, if you were not yet born again, it will be difficult to get born again. Because nobody is coming again. So he says, if by now you were not yet born, now the people who were talking to were born again. So he says, if by now you were not yet born again, he says, how many of you have people in the past couple of years, people didn't raise their hands? So that means that it's more difficult to get people saved now than before. Not because it is difficult to preach, but because Satan has gotten people busy with the flesh. There's nothing wrong about making money, going about your money business, or your career in school. Yeah, you can't even be in a serious local church and you're failing in your school. You can't be here. You can't be here and you're failing. I will personally see to your case. That's what I do here. I'm a pastor here. I'm a shepherd. And a pastor is an overseer. He is not an overseer because he sees one thing. He sees everything. It's his work to produce a fully fit Christian. That's the work of a pastor. If you are failing, we'll surround you with necessary structures. Not just in school for students. We also have workers. We also have adults. We also have the married in church. And you should not fail in your marriage. You should not fail. We have people who work with the government in church. You should not fail at your place of work. We have those who lecture in university. You should not fail at that. You shouldn't fail at that. We have those who own their businesses. You shouldn't fail at that. It's the clear church. So you don't have to fail in the natural, but your formal spiritual responsibility is to win the soul to the Lord. Someone say, but that's tasking, that's challenging. Hallelujah. No, it's not challenging. You are just in the wrong place. You've been in the wrong place. Hallelujah. You've been in the wrong place. When you come into the company of prophets, you what? You will prophesy. When you come into the company of those who win souls, because I tell you something, see, let me tell you, as a Christian, you are a spiritual man. The reason why some things some spiritual activities then look difficult is because you have not had the right influence. So when you need some things to be quickened up in your life, and they are the things of God, it's natural to you. But how then am I finding it challenging to pray? Why do I find it challenging to pray for hours? Why am I finding it challenging to hold a vigil, a personal vigil, when no one is there? Personal vigil. You cannot hold a personal vigil when you don't do well in the corporate vigils. Are we together? We have a vigil in church, and we are about 100 in the vigil. And you don't act well. Nobody has to tell us that you cannot have a good vigil alone. You cannot. You cannot. You can pray all night. Jesus prayed all night. Paul prayed all night. Praying all night is natural to the Christian, but might be difficult if he's not in the right place. Right place means amongst a people that does it. Because these things also rub off on us. Do you get it? Do you get it? Amongst the people. So does right place means amongst the people? Does right place means amongst the people? Don't worry. I'll teach you on Christian meetings before the year closes. Within this month, we'll look at Christian meetings. Or maybe by January, we'll look at Christian meetings. And I'll be explaining a vital aspect of Christian meetings to you. Amen? For example, did you observe that using your faith is not meant to be in isolation? Now, I know some of you will get it until I say something. Using your faith. As beautiful as using your faith is not meant to be in isolation. Some of us are stretched. What we've done is that we have stretched the Mark 11 truth of releasing your faith, using your faith. We have stretched it so much that we have raised believers who feels like being alone, they can use their faith. But God never taught it that way. See, your faith when you are alone receives the things you need when you are amongst others. Do you get it? Is to receive. What your personal faith is looking for is in a meeting. You know, sometimes we just miss those simple truths. I was always a friend of mine, and he just pointed that out. I said, "What?" Some weeks ago. So I thought about it since then, and it's true. Amen. I thought about it. And it's true. It's right. In faith. You know, sometimes you look at the woman with the issue of blood, right? That she kept saying, isn't it? And that's the text we use, right? A personal faith. You say, you confess. And there's nothing wrong with that. But anything taught in a way that it makes a Christian feel sufficient alone is not of God. It's not of God. We are deficient by nature. We are only sufficient through association. The things we need, the things of God. Is it clear? Interestingly, look at me. Interestingly, if you look at my two brothers, he has the gifts of God in him. He also has the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of God in him. But many times, he will need
the operations of that same gift he has from him before he can be blessed. There are some things you won't see for yourself. God will minister it to you from another believer who has the same spirit like you have. That's why we are told to walk in love. Right? Thank you. Will lighten the whole world. A lamp, a candle, will lighten the whole environment. But its own bottom is what? Dark. It takes another candle. And the things of God work like that sometimes. So we need the church. We need the church. Do you need the church? Do you need the church? And sometimes you feel that the church needs me. The church needs me. Sometimes you stretch that so much. The church needs me. Then you get into pride. The church needs me. I know it's me they need. They need me. Until you step off the bridge. Then you discover that, I actually needed the church. Did you get it? Then the pastor discovers that, I actually needed the church. The pastor needs the church so much as the church needs the pastor. We need one another in the church as the other also needs us. And that is the church. That is the church. That is the church. So whatever is taught that makes a believer go into isolation is not God's word. It's not God's word. I'm not talking about having personal prayer. You can have your personal prayer, but it must lead you into what? Corporate prayer meetings. You can open your Bible and read and study and go by your notes alone in your room, your morning devotion, but it must lead into what? Corporate services. The reason for our personal lives is so that we can be much more useful when we come together. Is it clear? The reason for our private moments in the things of God, personal prayer, personal fasting, personal this, personal that, is so that by the time we come together, we can serve others much more effectively. The things of God become vibrant, stirred up in our hearts to be able to serve others much more effectively. Glory to God. So, I seek the sheep intentionally, and I bring them into the fold. Is that what we read in John 10? Yes. He says, other sheep that are not of this fold I have, them I must what? Bring in. Someone say bring in. Them I must bring in. So, I bring in the sheep. So it's deliberate. I closed last Sunday on the note of not letting worldliness define what ministry is to us. I told you, evangelism or ministry, the work of discipleship, evangelism is not just sharing the gospel with people. You have to be planted in the church. You have to do it via the church. Because the church is where you bring people into. Remember, there's this group of people I used to know some years ago. That was when I was in the University of Bano. That was where I school. So when I was in UI, I think this must be around 2012 or so. 2012, yeah. So when I was in UI, was it 2012, 2013? Maybe around 2013, 2014, there about. 2012, between 2012 and 2014, because I was my two or three on the level. So I used to know this group of people. So one day, the leader of the group came to me, and then them about I think we got talking about church and ministry and all. So he told me, he says, we don't really, he was telling me, I don't really like the church thing. I don't like the church thing. That, so I said, then what are you doing? Then he said, we come together. He says, it's just a group, it's not a church. Okay, what do you do? He says, we come to pray. I said, do you pray? He says, yes, they pray. What else do you do? We just come to share. We share God's word. Okay? So you share God's word together. Then you pray. And then what else? He says, I said, do you know where those members of the group stay, their home? He said, yes. Do you once in a while check them in their hostel or homes? He said, yes. I said, okay. What happens about their material status? Do they always have, or are there times when they lack something? No, there are times when someone needs something. So what do you do? Yeah, I just talk to the other members of the Ogada's church. Are we together? That is church. Is it clear? The same thing he's doing is church. So you say, I don't like the church. You don't want to call it church. Church is more than what you call it. It's one life believers community church. The fact that there is church there is not church. You see some people, that's why some people call it a Christian center. And that's church, even though it is a center. Are we together? But that's church. Some people call it Christ Apostolic Church. You use church. I know that I like this well. Yeah, I like this a lot. The church is there. We don't have church. It's the church of God. Okay, church is there. So you don't have to call it church. Before it is what? It is church. See, the sheep of God has to be in a sheepfold. That sheepfold is called church. So I told you, it can either be a strong church or what? A weak one. And the strength or the weakness has nothing to do with numbers. It rather has to do with the vision, the activities being carried out, and whether people are effectively trained to carry out the mission of the gospel. A church that does not train people to effectively carry out the mission of the gospel, even if they are 5,000 in number, is a weak church. Because what makes a strong church is how strong you are on the Great Commission. The reason why there is a church. Do you get it? Do you get it? What makes a church to be strong is how strong that assembly is on carrying out the purpose behind churches, which is to evangelize the community, to preach the gospel, to train people to preach the gospel. The work of the church is to train people to reach out to the lost. That is the work of the church. The work of the church is not to find you a job. The work of the church is not to get you a partner to marry. The work of the church is not to give you money. The work of the church is not in humanitarian services. The work of the church is not to fix the roads. While those are not evil, to be busy with that and not be forward, effective on the work of the church itself is to be weak. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? So you observe that what makes strong and weak churches is the reasons, they are the things that Jesus was telling the churches in Revelation. Go and read it. The things Jesus was dealing with the churches, the things he told John to deal with the churches in Revelation, things that culminate in strong assembly or in not strong assembly. I told you, being a school mommy, school daddy, is not ministry. I'm fine. Something. There's nothing wrong in caring for new intakes in university. People, you can mentor. Is it clear? You can mentor. But don't call school mommy ministry. You are joking. Sharing tracts. That's not evangelism. Bible to people. It's not evangelism. Are we together? Evangelism is deliberate.
Tell your neighbor, say it is deliberate. Evangelism is done in the local church. In the local church. In the local church. Look at 1 Timothy 3, everyone. 1 Timothy 3. Verse 14, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. If you are there, let's read together. Once you go, this is right now unto thee, open to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry longer, thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. So, what is the truth there? Look at verse 16. That's the truth. The truth is explained in verse 16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Can we take it together? But we are sitting here. Praise God. Let's take it again. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without what? God was manifest in the flesh. Is that the gospel? Okay. So, pillar and the ground of the truth. Verse 15. Verse 16 explains that truth as the message of the gospel. It says the church is the pillar and the ground for that. Did you see that? So if anybody wants to be established in the truth of God, it needs to be found where? In the church. If we are going to take the truth of God out to the world, it's going to go from where? The churches. It's going to go from the churches. Goes from the churches. So evangelism, which is foremost in discipleship, the foremost work of a shepherd. I told you, what makes a shepherd is to seek the sheep. What makes a shepherd is the seeking of the sheep. What makes the shepherd is the seeking of the sheep. Is it clear, church? Is it clear, church? What makes a doctor is that you take care of the sick. You take care of the sick. That's what makes a doctor. That's what makes a doctor. Don't they? You know, there are people that be a doctor and they are not a doctor. I'm not even talking about the ones that are doctors of other field. People that their nickname is doctor. Nickname. Doc or doctor. But then you now start person. They will now start telling you that it doesn't add up. You will now be asking yourself, why then is he called doctor? Are we together? Or you are not even who they call pastor before? When you are secondary school? Pastor. Or on the street? Pastor. I think, sometimes ago, someone who had office around my office space, you know, she would always hear people address me as pastor, and then, you know, even though I don't love to always put that first, I say, call me. Kevin is my name and all that. So, but we were the pastor. So I think one day, and we've known each other for about 2-3 years. So I think one day, it was a Thursday. We had Thursday service. So as I came into the office, I was going to go out. So she needed my attention on something. And I told her, I said, I actually have to teach now. Because I have to use the word teach, not I have to be in church. Because I wanted her to get it. That my urgency, I have to leave because I have a role to play. I have church now, I have to teach. So she now stood there and said, are you really a pastor? And she had been calling me pastor for 3 years. So when she asked me, I didn't really process it. It was later on. You know, I can't be saying yes now. So it was later on. I was like, why that question? Almost a question.
But it now occurred to me that even me, I used to know people then that they weren't pastoring any church. But because they were well behaved, you understand? They are like well behaved. So the pastor is like, Pastor Malileyi, something like that. Not that the person is actually carrying out a pastoral work. Is it clear? So if we call you a shepherd, it is because you are seeking the sheep. So you become a shepherd by seeking the sheep. So we actually have the work of seeking the sheep. The lost sheep are everywhere around us. Some of them in your hostel. In your hostel. Sometimes we even have a lost sheep as a roommate. Why is he a lost sheep? Because he's not yet born again. Why is he a sheep at all? Because him. So he's a lost sheep. So we have the work of restoring them into the sheep. Restoring them into the family of God. And obviously that includes bringing them to church, isn't it? Now, does it start by getting them born again? Does it then include bringing them to church? Hey, wake up, that sister. We bring them into church. Don't say, it's Jesus that we are told to preach, not church. So after we have preached Jesus, what happens? Okay, go and sit down. There's nothing wrong in talking to people to come to your church. Is it clear? You just don't replace that with the message of salvation, which will get them born again. Is it clear? It's simple. Idea of now that you are saved, get a copy of the Bible and join any Bible believing church is a nonsense. How would you get someone saved and you don't take responsibility for where the person is planted into? It shows that you are a careless shepherd. It shows you are a careless shepherd. So there's nothing wrong after getting someone saved, making a decision for Christ, we're holding not on the neck, on the hand. Are we together? And bring the fellow into what? The sheepfold. Is it clear? I mean, you don't hold people in there. This morning we are going to church. They say, I'm not going there, you're off your shirt. I came for you today. And you bring pancake. Maybe you have a movie like this. Koboko. Take your Bible. No. Are we together? But we can entreat people, right? And that's what I remember. I told someone, compare people. Say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I didn't know he did not understand. On the other side, people coming to the meeting shaking and looking at me shaking. Ah, you know, she found people in the pastor. I compared it. Ah, rather now, you did not compare them, bro. You kidnapped them, bro. You kidnapped them for 3 hours. Are we together? We compel people. You know, people have excuses, though. You have excuse. A shepherd, one of the skills, that's why you have to be taught. I teach our workers very well. The worker in church were taught on shepherding. One of the skills of a shepherd is knowing how to overcome the excuses of people. See, have you looked at your life and observed that excuse is why you don't have fruits in certain areas of your life? It's an excuse. You must know how to overcome the excuse. And look at this. One of the ways to overcome the excuse of the sheep. Look at me. You don't know. One of the ways you overcome the excuse of the sheep. Should I tell you? Why should I not tell you? Maybe I should talk about sheep without shepherd. Should I tell you? Am I in the wrong choice this morning? Should I tell you? Or I should talk about shepherd without sheep? Look at this. One of the very simple and powerful ways to come
the excuse of a sheep is to visit them in their homes. Someone that complains the church is too far, by visiting, you show him he's not too far. Is it clear? Is it clear? He's not too far. You visit the sheep to go where they live, to care. Now, I'm not saying that everybody now start visiting, because I don't want to hear that it's fine again. Oh, I have come. No. The visitors say, sister so and so, we can see you today. Yes, because I don't want to hear from you that your house is too far, that's why I came. No. It's out of love. Glory to God. It's out of love. Then you can ask them questions. How far is your school from your home? You know, some people came. Some people can go as far as Eyenkori, Ogbomoso, from here to receive medical care. Or to consistently check a loved one who is admitted over a long period of time. Sometimes 3-4 times a week. But to leave an interior part of Okyodo and cross this road into this place, they say it's too far. No, it's not too far. You just have not found purpose to go. Church is never too far. If a school is not far, if the hospital is never far, if your place of work is never far, and despite the distance, you get to work early, then the church is not too far. Then the place of your cell meeting is not too far. Then the place of meeting is not too far. We go for their meetings, we go for once a year. We go once. We travel out of the city. He said, no. Somebody said that far. Once. Just a meeting to go once. And then you'll be back. Obviously, you'll be back now. just to attend. Amen. Maybe we're going to be there. We get it on Friday. Then we have Friday session. Then we have Saturday session. And then Sunday morning. So we are coming back together. We didn't even find your way there. We are all going there. He said, someone said it's too far. But you know how to visit your friend. Your friends are in 4 different states. So you go on missionary work, visiting all your friends in the country. Visit that one, spend 2 weeks. Visit that one, spend 2 weeks. From there, I then went to see Bisola. From there, I then went to see Jubola. From there, I then went to see Kokola. From there, I then went to see Gidola. From there, I then went to see Busola. From there, I then went to see my auntie. From there, I now went to do this. From there, I now came back. You should have not come back. You should have moved from one country to another country and nation to another nation. And to go and attend a camp meeting, a weekend, few days, Thursday to Sunday, Friday to Sunday, Wednesday to Sunday. He said, it's too long, it's too far. Sometimes when you're able to get them into church, and then you are, thank God. And then the person just like checking 30 minutes. He has said this word like 30 times. 30 minutes, 30 times. He checks his word. And by the time he checks his word, he just give pastor a face. Even the pastor must have prayed before he comes. What else would be like? We'll just say, the book of Jumon, chapter 2, verse 2. We only say Jeremiah, but because of the way you were looking at the pastor, he said Jumon. 2, verse 2. You can sit down. Some people cannot sit down for 2 hours to hear the word of God. 2 hours. Someone even said in his heart now, as he was thinking it, I heard it.
that you are.
But some of us will stay on Jumong. You are even checking it. Anyone that the episode is less than 1 hour, you will not watch. If it's season one, you will throw it away. Which one is four seasons for a weekend? A weekend with the king. Four seasons. Then after you are now watch it all of Thursday, all of Friday, all of Saturday, Sunday, someone now with warfare, after fighting principality and power, were able to collect you from their hand. You are now in service. Or trances. Is it all trances? You know Makinje. You know how you look. You know how Makinje looks. You don't know Makinje. You know how ultra what? Is it ultra sleeve? With your trances, is it ultra sleeve? Ultra sleeve. Smaller. And is it ultra is smaller? Is it ultra sleeve? You're just saying it's small. Are we together? It's influence. You are not exposed to the right things. Are we together, church? So it's deliberate. You bring the sheep into the house of God. Then it says to find pasture. Are we there? I say 2 months are close today. Is it clear? To find what? Pasture. That means it's also my work. For example, now look at it. A practical way. You see, this is Christian discipleship, and I'm teaching here. A practical way is to ensure this, is to ensure that the person that you invited to church came with the Bible. Is it clear? Came with the Bible. Then came with writing materials and actually wrote something. I not wrote anything, but write what was taught. Praise God. Write it. So it's your work. If you have people in church, when you invite a great brother or a great sister into the church on Sundays or on Thursdays or cell meetings, it's part of your work is to ensure that as you're taking notes, I know you're focused and you're taking notes and you don't want to be distracted, but you also look at that brother. Hope he's taking notes. Sometimes if you can, take notes. We thank God for people who have godly influences over our lives, right? Thank you. Amen. And we make their work easy, isn't it?
Yes.
Praise God. So it's deliberate. The work of a shepherd is a deliberate work. I'm deliberate. The work of a shepherd is a deliberate work. He's not cleaning the sheep. He's not of the sheep house. He's not absent-mindedly. He's deliberate. So someone tells him, he says, if you want your chickens to lay egg, you have to add this to this and this to this. Or maybe you don't produce their food. Maybe you go to the market to buy. But you tell them it is this food I want. Deliberate. So that parable was used to describe, it's a parable. Because when the church is called the sheep of God, are we sheep? Amen?
Uh-huh.
When I say amen, people not do. We all did what? Amen. Is it clear? I don't expect anybody. in the church. He said, why? I'm a sheep. No, 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 no. I will show you the back door. It's not this kind of sheep. Are we together? So, calling the church of God the sheep is a parable. So, that parable is then used to describe feeding the sheep. It is intentional. It is deliberate. It is deliberate to show care. The follow-up is deliberate. The calling is deliberate. To check on the fellow is deliberate. That's why when you ask the fellow, have you eaten? And the fellow, sincerely. Not people that they just eat and they say, ah, kosonje. Are we together? Someone who deliberately, you know, sometimes we're in need. Someone who deliberately has a need for welfare. So when you ask the fellow, huh? How are you doing? How is your account? Hope so you get some cash. Because that's also the work of a shepherd. To ensure. Not that they have cash. Are we together? Are we together? But that the need is met. If someone doesn't have food, sometimes what you can do is to provide your foodstuffs. The shepherd does that sometimes. Are we together? They provide foodstuffs. It doesn't have to be money. Someone needs food. And then you have money. And then you have money. Then you can get this and this and get that. But you have a bank of food in the house. And someone needs food. And say, I don't have money. No. If you have food, you take from me. You give. Is it clear? You don't always have to give money. Except you have money. Are we together? You can be wealthy in something that a fellow needs. Then you give of that. So when you ask someone, he says, for example, what have you eaten? It is, why do you look not well nourished? What have you been eating? I drank garri. Yesterday night, I got home late. Sometimes the sheep doesn't want to bother you. So your disciple doesn't want to bother. He says, I got home late. What did you eat? I got home late. What did you eat? You probe. And then you say, I've eaten this. What did you eat yesterday morning? I warmed the last food of the last night. Okay. What about in the afternoon? I took gala. Okay. What about at night? I will buy Indomie. Okay. What about tomorrow morning? The moment you are getting that response, just know that you supposed to drop some. Is it clear? Now, don't then ask and say, I just want to know. So why did I say all that? To show you that even the asking is deliberate, intentional, because you want to do something about it. And I know some of you do that sometimes because some disciples have showed you shaggy. I used to have a disciple. Oh God. You know, when they use your nose to scrub the floor, a disciple has done that to me before. Not literally, I won't be looking now. Are we together? But I mean, proverbially, a disciple has done that before. In fact, a disciple came to my house and stole my teeth. Yes. I went away with them. I now saw him enjoying life. I brought him back to church. But before, you know, something happened within those first few minutes. Are you? What the one collect his phone? How come my phone away? Oshimani. You that was saying that you should hear God's word. You said you should come and collect God's word. It's phone you came to collect. You came to collect. Right? I thought, you know, I understand. You only phone delay, you know. Go deal with me for 2 weeks. Apple. You won't church. Now that's a complete joke. Okay? So, but look at it. I'm showing you that the work of discipleship is practical. It's deliberate. Don't hold people's item and say, come to church. No. That's a complete joke. Is it clear? But I'm saying that the care is deliberate and intentional. To check up is deliberate. So the shepherd seeks the sheep. Now look at this. The seeking of the sheep is in two ways. There's the seeking of the sheep for the first time, where you bring a straying sheep into the sheepfold. There's also the seeking of the sheep that keeps you at the point where you are looking out for the person. That is, you care about the person's affairs. Part of seeking, is it clear? The second seeking now. So, that's welfare. So, seeking is to ensure that he's restored into the house of God. He's born again. He's born again. Because you don't want to have goats among the sheep. So he's born again. He's restored to the Lord by preaching the gospel. He's born again. One of the ways you show that someone is born again is that you lay hands on him, he speaks with tongues. Every Christian should speak with tongues. Every. Is it clear? Then he brings you to church. Then the second seeking has to do with welfare. Ensuring that the fellow is doing well, including if the person is a student in the academics. Sometimes it is part of ensuring that the sheep is doing well that you pull the fellow. Let's go to night class. Some students, they've never done night class in their life. No, you are not planning to do well in your academics. Maybe you don't have a future in that course. It's normal. Say, I'm not a night. Oh, God, I'm not a night person. Am I the bat? Are we together? Yeah, I'm not a night person, so I'm the robber. Me, I'm a robber. No. You will become a night person. When it says you are not children of the night, it's not talking about religion. He's talking about another. Yeah, children of the night class. Are we together? Take them out for students. You have a disciple that is in a job. You ask, how's your job? How are you doing? Hope there are no issues. And the disciple is expected to be accountable so he can have wisdom to handle natural things as they are now living this new life, the Christian faith. It's not everything you have wisdom for. But when you have a shepherd, you can use his wisdom for your own life. That's why shepherds are a gift of no mistakes. But sometimes they become a gift of less mistakes because there are times when you disobey. Your pastor is a gift of no mistakes. Your shepherd is a gift of no mistakes. Is that clear, church? So, and it's done within the local church. The sheepfold, go into all the world, Matthew 28, and make disciples. Disciples don't dwell in isolation. They are together. They are together. They are together. And look at this. You are not the one that call yourself disciple. It is people that describe you as a disciple. So you stay among the flock. In that flock, others can point to you. Did you see that? Did you see that? Others can point to you. Look at Acts of Apostles. Quickly. Look at Acts 11, everyone. Are you learning something? Yeah. Acts 11. Look at verse 25. Acts 11:25. Are you there? Let's read Acts 11:25 together. Once you go. The part of Barnabas was out also seek what? 26. A whole year, the what? They assembled themselves with what? With the church. Now look at this. Observe, it didn't say the church assembled. That's how we have read it before.
Now, did the church assemble? Yes. But is that what he's saying there? No. Look at 25 again. You missed something. Look at 25 again. Paul did what? Barnabas did what? To Tarsus, To seek who? Saul, So look at this. Who assembled themselves with the church? So that means Barnabas and Saul, the message there is not saying the church gathered for 1 year, even though they were gathering. The message in that text is saying Paul and Barnabas were going to church for 1 whole year, as long as they were in that city. Then the moment they left that city for the apostolic work, they went elsewhere. Now the issue is this: that church preceded Paul's apostolic work. So why Paul has not started planting his churches? He was attending services in whole year. Now again, look at this. Oh, don't lose it. Oh, of that it was Barnabas that brought him, right? So that means in the church, they had the custom of seeking somebody and bringing him. They had the custom of seeking somebody, born again, you're a Christian, how are you doing alone? Come to church. And then the whole year means it was no more, I was in service. It is now, this is my church. Are we together, church? Are we together? So, in verse 26 then, what did he say? What did he say? Verse 26, Acts 11. So the disciples were called what? First in Antioch, right? So it is people that calls you a disciple. It is people that calls you a Christian. People will call you a Christian. Ah, that one is a Christian. Oh, that one is a disciple. No, me, I'm a disciple. And that's your own testimony about yourself. That's fine. But it's actually people that will point to you and say, this one. Because you have the signs of a disciple. No, today, people just say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. And it's because it's been generally as that. But in the real sense of it, it is people that sees you and say, this one is a Christian. Look at what that also means. It means, in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, or let's say today, since we have many churches, in a local assembly, there is nothing wrong if everybody have the same traits. It must have been similarity of traits. This one's, how is a Christian? Because there is a way Christians do things. So there's nothing wrong in the whole church when all behave alike. It's a sign of a proper discipleship. Do you get it? So here is the question: how should my disciple behave?
Like me, of course.
Go with my word, don't go with my conduct. Oga, you put your word, we'll throw it away. How should my disciple behave? Just like me. Where should my disciple be during church meeting days?
Where I am in the service.
Glory to God forevermore. Don't give your disciple to hireling. Where did you see? Ireland? John 10. You contract discipleship. Ah, everybody told you, Baba. Is your disciple. Jesus says, the hireling sees the sheep, the wolf coming, and he does what? He flees. But the shepherd does what? The shepherd will lay down his life. The wolf coming is not literal. The wolf coming could be follow up versus business opportunity. They are the shepherd. You will prioritize the person over a gain that you might do.
Glory to God forevermore. So we'll begin to close. It is a function of the local church. It is a work of the local church.
So discipleship does not happen outside the church. That is why I told you that as imperfect as the church looks, it is what God uses. As imperfect. You will see it on Facebook, on social media, talking about churches. Ah, that church, this is the clinical. Ah, that church, this. See, as imperfect as it looks. And that's the testimony of Christianity. That God will use something that is imperfect to push forward His perfect plan. That's what shows He is God. So we don't embrace and rejoice at imperfection, but we rejoice in spite of imperfections. Because our confidence is in God. He's working in our lives. Are we together, church? I told you last week, I don't like that church. There's no perfect church. And if there is one, it becomes imperfect the day you join it. Because you are not perfect. Are we together? Are we together? Are we there? We are not perfect. So the church of God is the ground for discipleship. Is the ground for discipleship. 1 Timothy 3, 14, 15. Is the ground for discipleship. So the work of discipleship starts with evangelism. Seeking the sheep. Seeking the sheep. So can the whole church embark on evangelism? Look at this. Should the whole church embark on evangelism, or we should only create an evangelism unit in the church for those who like? Which one? There is nothing like evangelism units in the church. There's nothing like evangelism units in the church. Except what you call evangelism units is that you have is a place where some people there are the one responsible for training the whole church for evangelism. But when it comes to carrying out evangelism, it is what? The work of what? The whole church. I will show you this Christ discipleship committee. Yes, I'll show you this more. Because you will see that the church of Jesus Christ is also described as his army. The reasons why Paul will start talking about weapons of our warfare, but it's to show you that the scriptures also describe the believer. The man who is born again is also described in the scripture as what? A soldier. Is it clear? Now, the work of a soldier is to do what? Look at me. The work of a soldier is to take territory. Don't they know? It's to defend territory. Why is it you are defending? Did we beg for it? No. Did you get it? So, the work of a soldier is to do what? Is to take territory. So, if upon salvation, upon the resurrection of Jesus, we have soldiers waking up. We have soldiers, therefore, salvation is a soldier waking up to his task. A soldier being brought into a mission. Through teaching, your task becomes clear to you. Are we together? So, the ways by which we take the territory is through what? Evangelism with prayer and fasting. Ezekiel church. So look at this. How do we claim territory? How do we claim territory? Evangelism. Evangelism is how we claim territory. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Claim territories for me in every place. Claim territories.
So how many soldiers will go to claim territories? All everybody's working together, right? To claim territories for Christ through evangelism. So how many people goes out on evangelism? Now, you know, we all don't have to go out the same day. Is it clear? It depends on how the church does it. We all don't have to go out the same day. We all don't have to go to the same location. Is it clear? But we all can have an activity, a practice. We all can have the practice, the culture, and the commitment to doing what? Carrying out evangelism as the leadership gives direction. Your leadership could be self. Your self leader could say, oh, Tuesday we are having evangelism. And that's that self. And there's a self community. Another self can say, oh, our own is Friday. Then sometimes the pastor can say, oh, the whole church on Saturday, every member of the church, we are going out to what? Evangelism. It could be a different, we could say, oh, this Saturday we are all having evangelism. Having it in our locality, that's in your neighborhood. And then we can say, oh, this Saturday, all of us, we are going on evangelism in a particular campus. All of us, let's head to that campus and evangelize. Then we shatter the works of Satan upon lives. And let me tell you something as I close. There is no greater way to communicate the gospel aside the look at this. One on one.
One on what?
One on one. One on one. One on one. Preach the gospel in person, not over the media. You are not those who send the gospel, you are those who preach it. Send the gospel to every nation. No. It says go there and preach. Go into all the world. It needs to send the gospel to every nation. Is it clear? Is it clear? So, some things cannot be done over Facebook. Some things cannot be done over YouTube. You go there, one on one. The gospel. You can't lay hands over Facebook. You only lay hands. And lay hands over Facebook, can you? Can you impartation over Facebook? That one is one on one, right? Right? One on one. So, one on one is the answer to the gospel. One on one. There are some word of knowledge that you will not drop except you have seen the person like this. One on one. There are some power that will not move except you are with the sick person like this. One on one. One on one. Can you touch the end of the gas? Forget. Live stream. I live stream. Can you touch any of the garments on live stream? Can you cast shadow on live stream? No. There's no use what God manages because of His grace to now replace what He actually wants. Go for what you want. When what you want can really not be achieved, then you will manage something. But don't live by what He manages. Is it clear? Is it clear? Glory to God forevermore. So, who is an evangelist? Or who should carry out evangelism? Rather, let me put it that way. Who should carry out evangelism? Evangelism, he should be carried out by every believer. Every Christian. Before miracles. Every Christian. Every Christian. Are we together? Every Christian should carry out evangelism. Every Christian. Every Christian should carry out evangelism. Every Christian. Every Christian. Every Christian. Every Christian, every Christian, every believer, every member, you have words to say. Is it clear? You have what to say. I remember, was it 2010? I went to preach in 2010. I was an evangelist, Aberdeen. And the real matter is that now today, I can sit someone down. And I'm evangelizing the person for 6 to 8 hours. And I will not quote a text twice. I have so much to say. But then I didn't have much to say. I remember vividly. I didn't know much.
I remember there was this young guy, I got saved at Aberdeen, and I just called the guy to corner. I just told him, I said, Christ, I was trying to say more things, and that was just all I could say. I said, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. I think I must have told him that if you don't believe, yes, which is part of the gospel. You tell people they go to hell if they don't believe. It's part of the gospel. Are we together? I had some people say, hell is not part of the gospel. I said, calm down. What do you mean by the gospel? You know, Mumba gospel. I asked someone, I said, what is the gospel? The gospel is good news. I said, well, anyway, good news. That's why you can't raise any serious disciple. The gospel is good news. What is good news, Father? Somebody was brutally killed on the cross. The gospel is good news. It's just a very myopic definition of the gospel. The gospel is the message of the kingdom. In that message, the reason why it's called the good news is because it does the yellow good. It declares when it believes. Not because all the content is sweet. Not because all the content is sweet. Not because all the content is sweet. Jesus said, he that believes not shall be what? He that believes not shall be condemned. Is that part of the gospel? Yes. So the preaching of the gospel is not without the mention of the consequences of unbelief. You mention it, or else you have preached the half message. The reason why you get some people saved and they are not serious with God is that you didn't tell them the right things while you were preaching to them. You didn't tell them. Maybe you sweet-mouthed them. No, that is not the gospel. Are we together, church? The gospel is to leave sin and death. To come from your worldly living, worldly lifestyle, worldly mindedness, that sin nature. Christ has done. Redeems you from sin and the lifestyle of sin. What Christ has done redeems you from both sin and the lifestyle of sin into righteousness and the lifestyle of righteousness. Is it clear? Is lifestyle part of the gospel? Yes. Because the lifestyle is the sign that something has changed. Is it clear? That is why those who taught righteousness in the epistles, Paul, righteousness as a nature, also as a conduct. Holiness is taught as a nature, first, then as a conduct. You mustn't shift it. You mustn't switch it. It is first a nature, but it's also what? A conduct. Love is taught as a nature. It's also taught as a conduct. Forgiveness is taught as what you have received. It's also taught as what you should give. Did you see that? It says forgive as Christ has forgiven. Oh, so forgiveness is what I have received. It's also what I want to give. Glory to God forevermore. Hebrews 12 and 14. It says follow all peace with all men without holiness. Follow all peace with all men without which what? No man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. He's not talking about rapture. He's not talking about making heaven. No. He's saying that without holiness, your holiness, people will not see the Lord in your conduct. So I also have the duty to show the Lord. Is it clear? See, I show the Lord. See, I show the Lord. So we have that duty to preach the gospel. Everyone should preach the gospel. Every Christian should preach the gospel. It's not just about gathering crowds, talking to people, loving the people, and then entertaining people. No, Christians should go out, preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel. We have all been sent on a mission to gather the lost sheep into his sheepfold, to provide leadership for them, to lead them to provide God's vision for their lives. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? Next week, I'm going to talk about where that comes from. Look at Acts 5 as we close. Acts 5. Glory to God. Acts chapter 5. So, how many of us should go out on evangelism? If you believe,
You should be on evangelism. When we are out on evangelism, can you just wave your hand? You believe that you should actually be on evangelism with the church. Can you wave your hands? Can you wave your hands? Hallelujah. Thank you. So all should be on evangelism. All. God's voice is in your voice. God's plan is in your mouth. It's in your heart. The gateway is your mouth. You can declare. You can declare. The student on campus, during breaks, lecture breaks, you can have evangelism. This class is 10 to 11. Next one is 12 to 1. Between 11 to 12, you can have evangelism. Because you don't want to go to your hostel at that time, you can have evangelism. Are we together? Are we together? You work in an organization, you have a coffee break. Oh, by 12:30, everybody is free to go out, take coffee. Now, some of them don't give you coffee in the office. But I mean, it's lunch break. So you can go out to take lunch. You can get to a place. Right there, you can engage someone by you, evangelism. Interestingly, I do that. Sometimes I'm in my office, and I just feel I don't have anybody I'm attending to at that moment. I just take a walk out, and I go on evangelism. In the afternoon, I do that. I just go on evangelism. Sometimes around 1, sometimes 2. I just go out on evangelism. Just go out. And I just witness to someone. Sometimes they say, wait, have you believed the gospel since you have been born? Yes. Yes. And if you know me, I have drastic ways of starting outreaches. I have drastic ways of starting outreaches. What do you think about your right standing with God, brother? What even your name? What even your name? I'm Kevin by name. I don't know. You seem to not be so occupied. Am I right? I'm not. I could walk it down. There's something I want to tell you that is vital. If you don't hear it now, you might not have somebody tell you in a long time. Can I? Okay. So what do you think about your right standing with God? My right standing with God? I want to hear him talk. I appreciate God. I preach the gospel. In the bus, you preach the gospel. Sometimes, the reason why I don't preach the gospel is that the trip is 3 hours. I will start when it's about 30 minutes to the end. You go preach. You know, how about start in the first 30 minutes and end 30 minutes into a 3 hour trip and do other things? Is it clear? And do other things. And do other things. Hallelujah. Acts 8, let's close. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Acts what? 5, not Acts 8. We're going to Acts 8 too, though, but Acts 5. Everyone, I want us to read Acts 5, verse. Acts 5, right? Okay. Verse 35. Let's take it together. I said unto them, you men of Israel, take it unto yourselves what you intend to do as such in this man. For before those days rose Theudas, both himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. So look at this. Now, we won't do that in this study, but later on. But you observe the assemble yourself, joined yourself. Have you seen it in two different places now? You saw with Paul and Barnabas, right? They assembled themselves with the church. Then you see this place, it says 400 men join themselves. So join themselves is a language of commitment. To be joined together and become what? One flesh again. It shows union. So to join a church, you know, today we can get casual. And we don't really have the power of what we are saying. But to join a church means to unite yourself with the ministry, with the church. To join a church. There's a way we can be casual about that thing. I joined the church. And then, a proof that you are casual is that in a year, you have joined 10 churches. In 2 months, you have been to like 5-6 different churches. Kilo Wakiri, Loma. Are we together? Are you a waste management agent? Amen. I said amen. So, join yourself, assemble yourself. Has to do with what? Commitment. Commitment. So look at 36, everyone. Acts 5, 36. Let's take it together. Join themselves to her. Who was? Okay. They were what? They were scattered and what? Prosperous.
Don't they scatter?
Now look at Acts 8. Acts 8. Acts 8. 1.
Do we do God?
Then we have the victory. Verse 1. Let's take it again. One to go. Verse 1. Take verse 8 of Acts 5 again. Verse 8 of Acts 5. Start from who? Who was slain? Scattered and what? Brought to naught. Then in Acts 8 1. And they were all, they that what? That were scattered and brought throughout regions of what? Samaria. Except what? So they were all scattered. Isn't it? Isn't it? Now look at the disciples of Teldas. Were they scattered also? But observe, it says they came to naught. Right? They came to naught. But here also, you now see similarly. Now if you follow Acts 5 well, it was the Pharisee that was talking. And the Pharisee was talking when Peter and John were being persecuted. And the elders gathered and said, what should we do about these ones? So that chief Pharisee got up and said, hey, wait, oh, let's look at these people. Let's leave them alone. There was one guy called Tildas. He called himself also, he said he is God and all of that. But we observe that when he died, his disciples did what? 400. They did what? They scattered. And they came to what? Nothing. So that particular Pharisee was saying that about the disciples of Jesus. That is also is dead. Don't worry. They are claiming that he's alive. We will soon know. Have they known now? Are we here? 2,000 years later. 2,000 years later. 2,024 years later. Are we together? They say we will know. Maybe it's just like that. Tell that they will all scatter. They will scatter. But if they do not, it shows you that what they are saying is what? Is true. That Jesus, the leader, is still around. Are we together? We know he's alive. Hallelujah. So look at verse 5. Verse 4, everyone. Verse 4. To go! Therefore, they that were what? Went everywhere what? Someone say preaching. Someone say preaching. Verse 5. Then Philip went down to Samaria. Now, I don't need to read about Philip to you, right? So, Philip was just one example of the multitudes in verse 4. You get it? Do you get it? Did you get it? Philip was just one example of the multitudes in verse 4 who were scattered about preaching. So, we're all preaching. We're all preaching. You know, today after service also, we also have a way of going back to our places, right? We go preach. Glory to God forevermore. Look at Acts 11. Acts 11. Acts 11. Acts 11. Verse 18. Let's take it together, everyone. Once we go. When they have these things, they have the peace, the glorified God, saying, then at all the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. 19, everyone wants to go loudly. Now they which scattered abroad, Paul, but you arose, traveled as far as Phoenix, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto. So they were preaching. So all in the church were taught to what? To preach. Glory to God forevermore. Can we trace the gospel in the nations of the world today to the fact that all were preaching? So when all preach, the gospel is able to take more territory. So as we close today, let us not limit the work of preaching to the pastor, to the cell leaders, to our pastors. No! Ephesians 4, the pastor was given to equip you for the work of the ministry. That means you have the work of the ministry. The pastor is also given to you
to equip you. Then he also shows you the example. But showing you the example does not replace you doing it. He shows you the example so that you can know how it is done. Is it clear, church? Say, I have to preach. Hallelujah. Say, I have to preach. So as we go through the month of December, there's a preaching month. There is 4th of December. It's a preaching month for you now. And hear me? Our voices are hard. Our voices are hard. Our voices are hard. And ministries are received. As we take upon us that corporate role of preaching the gospel, of preaching the gospel, of teaching the gospel, of raising disciples, setting them free from afflictions and darkness and works of Satan of the evil one. We see God's hand in our hands. We see His vision in our eyes, His voice on our voices, His words on our lips, His vision, His fire in our hearts. Hallelujah. As we take upon that corporate assignment or preaching, we do the works of God. How many of you do the works of Jesus this morning? So we are opening the new year. We are not closing the year. Is it clear? I showed you that, right? See, let me tell you something. The things of the Spirit happens or responds to your heart. Your heart. Your heart. Yes. Because man is more supernatural than he thinks. The things in your heart affects what he sees around you. What is he around you? I open my heart as of the beginning of the year of the season, and I bring in much more harvest, and I see the end of God, and I have supernatural increase, and I walk consistently, even as on time passes, as of periods gone by, I see possibilities ahead. The hand of God upon me, His voice on my lips, His fire in my heart, and His vision in my eyes, His strength in my feet, His life in my bones, His breath in my nostrils, His days in my days. Hallelujah. His day in my days, His season in my seasons, His life in my livings, His activity in my doings, His mission in my activities. I see the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just pray on that talk this morning. Pray for yourself. Even much more. Yes. Seasons of plenty, seasons of harvest. Day by day, Sunday in, Sunday out, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, all of these days will be replicated in this month. I have them as God wants wills. I have them as God wants wills. I have them as God wants the wills. The power and the grace of God abounds towards me. Again and again and again and again and again. And let the pull the Spirit upon me. The Lord is having His way through me. Pray on that topic.